freedom tastes of a cream puff bought on Regent Street. Sweet leaves of flaky pastry dissolve on my tongue while the hansoms and omnibuses move up and down the street, muddy water mixed with dirty snow churning beneath their wheels. People bustle to and fro, armed with a sense of purpose, and we move among them with no constraints, another part of the nameless crowd colliding with chance, with destiny. We walk to Piccadilly and duck into the great covered Burlington Arcade, striding past the beadles, who keep order with harsh glances and the weight of a stick in their hands. There are stalls selling items of all sorts here, sheet music, gloves, hosiery, cut glass ornaments and the like, and I feel a deep longing for India again, with its bazaars and frantic markets. "This is nearly as good as being in the realms," Anne says, happily devouring her treat. "What is your news?" Felicity asks. "My brother has a patient at Bethlehem named Nell Hawkins, a most interesting case. It is so noble of Tom to care for the unfortunate," Anne says, licking a dollop of pastry cream from her lips. "His betrothed must think him lovely." "Betrothed? Tom?" I say, annoyed at the interruption. Too late, I remember my lie. "Oh, yes, you meant Miss Richardson. Of course, how silly of me." "You said her name was Dalton, and that she was beautiful." I can think of nothing to say. I really put my foot in it. "It is ended." "Oh?" Anne asks, looking hopeful. "Would you let her get on with the story?" Felicity chides. Nell Hawkins doesn't think herself Joan of Arc or the Queen of Sheba. Her particular delusion is that she thinks she's a member of the Order and that a woman named Circe is after her. Felicity gasps. "You've given me chills." Anne's confused. "But I thought you said she was at Bethlehem." "Well, yes," I say, realizing how ridiculous it must all sound. Two newsboys pass, heckling us as they go. We pay them no mind. "But you don't think she is mad? You think she's only play-acting to protect herself?" Felicity leads. We've reached a place selling elaborate snuff boxes. I inspect one that is inlaid with ivory. It is dear, but I've nothing for my father yet, so I instruct the girl to wrap it for me. Actually, I visited with her earlier. She is, in fact, insane. She did this, I say, showing my battered amulet.
"Oh, my," Felicity says.
"I don't see how she could possibly help us then," Anne grumps.
"She's seen Circe, I'm sure of it. She kept mentioning the path. Stick to the path. She said it several times."
"What do you suppose that means?"
Felicity asks. We pass through the arcade and out to Bond Street, stopping before a glittering shop window. Claret silk cascades over the silent wax dummy of a woman. Each crease shimmers like wine in moonlight. We cannot help staring longingly.
"I don't know what it means, but I do know that Nell Hawkins was a student at St. Victoria's in Wales."
"Isn't that where Miss Macleady taught before she came to Spence?" Anne asks.
"Yes, but I've no idea if she was one of Nell's teachers. I shall write a letter to the headmistress there, asking when Miss Macleady left their employ."
I believe that there is some terrible connection between what happened to Nell Hawkins and Miss Macleady, something that has to do with the realms. If we can solve that riddle, it may very well lead us to the temple.
"I don't see how," Anne grouses.
I sigh.
"I don't either, but at present it's my only hope."
The silk taunts us from its high perch behind glass. Anne sighs.
"Wouldn't you adore having a dress made from that? Every head would turn."
"Mama is having my dress sent from Paris," Felicity says, as if discussing the weather. Anne puts her hand to the glass.
"I wish..."
She can't even finish the sentence. It's too much even to wish. A shop girl steps up into the window, the arc of lettering that is Castle and Sons Dressmakers cutting her into two neat sections. She removes the dazzling fabric. Stripped of its finery, the dressmaker's dummy wobbles and settles upright, nothing more than a flesh-coloured shell. We walk on till we find ourselves on a small side street, where I am struck dumb.
Tucked away under an awning is a tiny shop, the Golden Dawn.
What is it? Felicity asks.
That shop. Miss McCleavy had an advert for it in her case. It was one of the only things she had, so it must be of some importance, I say.
A bookseller's? Anne asks, wrinkling her nose.
Let's have a look for ourselves, Felicity says. We dip into the dark cave of the shop. Dust swirls in the weak light. It isn't a very well-kept shop, and I wonder why Miss McCleavy is fond of it. A voice comes from the darkness.
May I be of assistance?
The voice takes form in the person of a stooped man of about 70. He hobbles over, leaning on a cane as he does. His knees creak with the effort.